This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown. It's good to have you with us. And quite an exciting weekend this weekend. If you follow cricket, literally my backyard this weekend was a pretty explosive test match. And I'm not going to bore our American audience, but I know there's lots of Aussies that listen to this as well. And I'm sure you guys are feeling it as much as we are. Just absolutely shocked with what happened this past weekend. It's crazy, crazy scenes at Newlands. But it does set things up pretty interesting for the final test match, which gets underway in Johannesburg. But this isn't a cricket podcast. We're talking triathlon. Forgot for a moment what podcast does. We're talking triathlon. It is the Kona Edge, and I am Brad Brown. And we're joined by Alex Rossetti today to talk a little bit about his Ironman run and figure out some of the things that he's done to get faster on his run over his fairly short triathlon career. That's all coming up on today's show. Today's Coach's Corner is brought to you by Doug Guthrie Personal Training. Doug has a passion for seeing people improve and succeed. A 14 times Ironman finisher, two of those on the Big Island, a USA T Level 1 certified coach, head coach of the YMCA Tri Team, Doug has the unique ability to meet athletes wherever they are in their journey. His motivation comes from helping athletes improve and meet their goals at any skill level. As a self-coach, two times Kona qualifier and finisher, Doug's experience places him in the shoes of those training for their first sprint, to those who need to know what has to be adjusted in their plan to get them to the next level in order to qualify for the World Championships. Discover more about Doug, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. And don't forget, if you're a coach or if you have a coaching business and would like to get a plug on the podcast, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. Let's get some running here on the Kona Edge today. We head back to catch up with the returning guest, Alex Rossetti. Alex, welcome back onto the podcast.
Thank you, Brad.
Alex, the wheels came off in your run in Kona 2017. Sometimes you have those days. It's frustrating, particularly when you are a good runner, when things like that do happen.
Yeah, and I feel kind of hypocritical saying this, but you can't have a great bike and a bad run. There's no such thing as that. Either you have a good bike and a good run, or you just didn't pace yourself. But I did not pace myself accordingly in Hawaii. Didn't factor everything in there, but yeah. Some days you're the hammer, some days you're the nail.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting you say that, because a good run is set up on the bike. If you burn all your matches early on, you're going to be in for a very, very long day.
yeah, you are.
Alex, let's talk about something else that you mentioned to me in our first chat. You mentioned that before you got into doing Ironman, you had run a marathon. And I chat to a lot of Ironman triathletes who don't run marathons outside of an Ironman. The only marathons they've ever run is after a 180K bike. Was that just you wanted to run a marathon, or there was no other reason why? Have you run any other standalone marathons?
No, so I've only run marathons five times. Four of them have been at the ends of Ironmans. Yeah, the first one was yes, because I wanted to do an Ironman, and second because first reason was because I wanted to do a marathon. Second reason was because I wanted to see what the heck it was like at the end of an Ironman. Like, what was I supposed to expect?
Do you think that helped? And in my mind, the reason I'm asking that, because I do that. I run a fair amount of standalone marathons, and I like it just from a mental perspective, going and knowing that I've covered the distance. Would you advise that, or do you think maybe not? It's not really worth the effort and the damage you do to your body.
Oh, huge. Super important. Especially if you're getting into the sport, or if you've done some Olympics, you're like scratching your head, maybe do I do an Ironman? Run a marathon. If you have a really rough marathon, well, it's not going to get any easier after riding your bike for 5 hours or whatever it is. Definitely worth the effort, and it'll teach you a lot about what you can eat, what you can drink. Kind of what my coach and I have always agreed on is you don't get better at racing by not racing. You get better at racing by racing. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think back to my first couple of Ironmans. My first one, I had done a couple of standalone marathons, and the marathon in the Ironman was horrific. And then after that Ironman, I went and did a 56-mile ultra marathon. And that really taught me a thing or two about running with no legs, where you are just absolutely smashed. And I remember going back to the Ironman the following year, and on that marathon, there were bits of that run that the year before I absolutely hated. And I was like, I remember walking and just hating myself. And the following year, after I'd done that ultra marathon, I just realized, you know what? My legs are just as sore as they were last year, but I can still run. And that ultra marathon taught me that. It was just a case of, you know what? If your legs are smashed, as long as you keep moving, you can still run. Your pace might not be right, but you can still run. And that is what that ultra marathon taught me. And I'm guessing for you, the marathon taught you that as well, heading into your first Ironman.
Oh yeah. Do you have any good mind games you play?
I just switch off. I just absolutely zone out, take myself somewhere else.
Yeah. I can't do that. I wish I could. I have, I call it my pain cave. So there's certain kind of emotions and feelings and memories that I have that I don't ever think about except for when I need to. So I kind of call it my pain cave.
But in saying that, I quite like hanging out in that moment. I think that's one of the reasons. I think deep down we're all sort of a bit masochistic, and we like the pain. And I always say hanging out in dark places. I like hanging out in dark places, and I think that's why I do it, is to take me back to. I wish I could do it more often, but I don't think my body would hold up.
Yeah, the pain cave for me. It is a very dark place. It's very emotional. Just a lot of things that I wouldn't normally want to think about. The nice thing is usually I get some shots of adrenaline when I go in there. So it does help with the pain. But
it's almost when you stick your finger in your ear and it gets just too deep, where it's that uncomfortable, but it feels really good. It's that sort of feeling, isn't it?
Almost, yeah, a little more addicting, a little more like taking some drugs, but yeah. Oh wait, this is triathlon.
Exactly, yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things you've done that you think has moved the needle on your run. I mean, you're a good runner. Obviously, that debut marathon, you said it was around about a 3:15. You've got some chops on the run. What are some of the things that you've done that you think has really improved your run performance?
Yeah. I would say three major things. Number one, lose weight. Yeah, just lose weight. You'll go faster. And don't do it a month before you race your legs. Let's say if you lose 15 pounds within a month before you race, which would be very hard to do, and I don't recommend, but if you did, your legs aren't going to be they're not going to be used to that weight load, and they're not going to be able to turn over as fast. So 6 months out, start working your weight down slowly and getting your legs accustomed to that speed. But yeah, man, just slimming down is huge. I've always been kind of a heftier, thicker person. Not necessarily fat, but just heavier. And I really focused on getting down, and that made a big difference. That speed work. I love half-mile, one-mile repeats. Just getting you uncomfortable. And it's kind of like how I was saying in a different episode, I like doing that threshold work on the bike. Just you really kind of start to learn what your limits are. And that's really kind of the closest you can get to a race environment without actually racing. And finding where that stress balance is of too much, too little, just about right. Just kind of pushing all those barriers. So speed work. My coach, at least once a week, I'm on the track. Sometimes twice a week. If I'm not on the track twice a week, it's because I'm doing hill intervals. So one, weight, two, speed, three, technique. So I don't have a running coach. My coach who does my triathlon coaching, when I was living here in California, every Tuesday morning, we'd all meet up together as a group, me and all the local triathletes in the area that he coaches. And we'd do track together, and he would just watch us. And he's not the type of guy. His name is Muddy Waters. Great coach. Shout out to Muddy. He's not going to start berating you for doing this, this, and this, but just kind of every once in a while, hey, focus on this, focus on that. Think about this. So for me, when I'm not with my coach, now that I live on the other side of the country, I videotape myself, just looking at where you place your feet. How are your hips? Are your hips behind you? Are you doing something goofy out front, or are they kind of nice and square under you? What's your upper body doing? What are your shoulders doing? What's your head doing? You know, upright, shoulders back, casually swinging the arms, keeping a good high cadence. So yeah, weight, speed, and technique. Those have been my big three factors for running.
Brilliant. Favorite running workout? If you could only ever do one run over and over again for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Over and over again for the rest of my life.
If you had to choose one, you weren't allowed to do anything else, just that one.
Just the nice long trail run. I love, just getting out in the woods. But in terms of, that's if I could only do one. If you told me I could do two, the second one would be on the track. You know, it's one of those hate to love it relationships where, you wake up early, get on that track, and no one else is out there. It's like, oh man, this is gonna stink. But once you get going, you warm up for 2 or 3 miles, and then you start hitting the gas. You feel good, and by the end of it, that's a big deposit. You know, you know that you've got that 5:30 per mile speed, or that's whatever speed it is. And so at the end of the race, you can say, all right, you know what? I know I can go there. I've done it at the end of, you know, that long weekend, that hard swim, and then I woke up early and I did that run. Like, okay, I did that. I can do this now.
Big confidence builder. Well, Alex, it's been great catching up once again. I look forward to talking about your nutrition strategy next time out. Thanks for joining us on the Cone Edge.
Absolutely. Thank you.
This episode of the Cone Edge is brought to you by the Wahoo Kicker. Whether you're looking for the accuracy and control of a direct drive bike trainer or the flexibility and convenience of a wheel-on solution, Kicker and Kicker Snap are two distinct indoor training solutions. Kicker Indoor Trainer's large flywheel uses new algorithms to improve responsiveness and better replicate the sensation of riding on the road. So whether free riding or using online platforms like Zwift and TrainerRoad, you'll have the same experience you feel on your favorite outdoor rides. To check out their phenomenal range, head over to thekonaedge.com/indoor. That's thekonaedge.com/indoor. And that is it for this edition of the Cone Edge. Thank you so much for joining me, and thank you to Alex Rossetti for joining us today. And got a great iTunes review in. I forgot what they were called. Gee, I'm having one of those days. I think I need a weekend. I know it's Monday, but man alive. Going in from Suede 005 saying, awesome show. The segments are great, spot on for the time, and great interview skills too when talking with the athletes and getting the good, the bad, and the helpful hints. Keep up the great work. Look forward to the next show. Well, Suede, Suede 005, thank you so much for that iTunes review. Much appreciated. And those iTunes reviews really do help us. If you haven't left one yet, please do. I'll give you a shout out on the podcast tomorrow. And what it does is it literally just bumps us up in the rankings in iTunes, which is the biggest search engine for podcasts. So the Google, the YouTube for podcasts, so to speak. And the more of those reviews we get, the higher iTunes ranks us. And they put the podcast in front of more triathletes just like you. So it helps us grow the show. And if there's something you'd like to do to help us, or if you've got anything out of the show, I'd really appreciate it if you did leave us a review. It helps us massively. Until tomorrow, I mentioned on Friday, by the way, that hopefully I'd have some news for you this week with regards to what we're up to here on the Cone Edge, and had a bit of a spanner thrown in the works today, but I am working on a solution to it. But yeah, hopefully I will have some news for you this week. Still waiting on that email, and hopefully all will be revealed before the end of the week. So thank you so much for listening. We're back again tomorrow. Have yourself a great day. Cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Cone Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.